Welcome to Arrow's Angle podcast, a place for real talk about all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. We'll talk tricks and tips, interview the experts, and hear from you to help you prepare for your birth or navigate the tender postpartum time. Arrow's Angle is brought to you by Arrow Birth, a place for expecting and growing families to move from information overload and overwhelm to knowledge and success through our unique combination of documentary-style childbirth education and one-on-one solution-oriented consultations. Making an impact is a priority for Arrow Birth, so every purchase with Arrow makes birth safer through our partner Midwives for Haiti and our Improved Birth Project. Check out more on our website, arrowbirth.com. Let's get the podcast started with your hosts and Arrow Birth consultants, Tara Campbell-Lussier and Mary Stutzman-Smith.
Thank you for being on Arrow's Angle. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your story? I read some on your website, which is great, but let's go ahead and tell people that maybe aren't acquainted with you yet.
Awesome. Yeah. So I guess I'm an infertility conqueror and author and fertility coach, and really have my own journey with premature ovarian failure. So I was diagnosed at age 28 with that and told my only option to have children was with donor eggs. So.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah. And so I love that you said infertility conqueror. That's a great term, right? That you've been through it and you've conquered it and now you're helping others. I love that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I wrote back in my email to you, but I have four children myself, and I have twins and then two singletons.
Nice.
And
yeah, I saw that on your thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So that my twins were IVF, ICSI and IVF, and we went through our own fertility struggles there. And that was another reason that I was personally just so intrigued with what you're doing, because I wish I had you 10 years ago. So tell me about your business, like Fab Fertile. It looks great. It looks like you're doing like a mindfulness course. You're coaching with people. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So basically we help, we have a couples coaching program as our signature program. We help couples. It's typically females that we help with female fertility. And then we coach couples through a 6-month program. And really, so part of my team was a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. So we really start our program with testing. So we look at functional testing. We look at food sensitivity testing. So we look at a LEAP MRT test, and that looks at 150 foods and 150 chemicals. And then while we're waiting for results of the food sensitivity test, then we have people do an elimination diet. So they take out the top allergens, so dairy, gluten, corn, soy, peanuts, and eggs. And you take that out of your diet for 10 days and then systematically reintroduce it. And I've had people bring back in corn and it, you know, flares up their asthma, bring back in dairy, they could feel phlegmy, bring back in gluten, they could feel brain fog or digestive issues. And so it's really different for everyone. So helping people to really clue into, you know, how diet impacts their body. And then we get the results of the food sensitivity test. And so typically with the food sensitivity is like the food, the bread you have on packed you until Monday. So most people will come to me and say, I don't have a food sensitivity, when the majority of people that we work with turns out they do. So people just never connect the dots, and they think if they've gone to see an allergist, you know, and
that'll check the boxes or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it's like missing that key point, because if your body is, mounting an immune response to a food, that could then, your body wants to survive. It doesn't want to procreate. So we have them go through the elimination diet, really kind of clue into, you know, how food impacts their body. And then we have them do a Dutch test. So I had on my podcast, Get Pregnant Naturally. We had Dr. Carrie Jones. She's the medical director from Precision Analytical, and they're the creator of the Dutch test. So it's a dried urine test. Then we look at
dry urine test. That sounds intriguing.
Yeah, dried urine. So it looks at your sex hormones as well as your cortisol levels and your melatonin, and really kind of gives us a really clue as to what's happening with your hormones. And even people come to us with, you know, low AMH or high FSH or premature ovarian failure. And sometimes, you know, all the hormones are bottomed out, so they're very low. But other times it could be your estrogen is fine, but testosterone and progesterone are low. Mm-hmm. So it's different for everyone. So people get stuck, you know, on the fertility diagnosis or the infertility, but typically I don't like using the word anyways. It's sort of the fertility journey. But
I totally agree. When I was emailing you earlier, I was like, I don't really want to use the word infertility. Like, how can we make it more positive?
Yeah, yeah. Fertility journey.
Yes.
So it's more they get stuck on that diagnosis, but using the tools of functional medicine, which really is the future of conventional medicine, and using testing to ask why, then it's like there's other things going on in the body, and we get stuck just like, let's help work on the health of the eggs. Well, maybe you have a food sensitivity test, mm-hmm. and maybe the fact that you've had IBS for a number of years, maybe the fact that you have an autoimmune issue, maybe the fact that you get headaches every Monday, you know, there's other things going on in your body. It's never just the infertility. And
it's all connected. It's so,
yeah,
all connected.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's the dried urine test. So that just gives us a better picture as to what's happening. Some people may say, oh, I'm going to take maca to help with, you know, that can be helpful for low ovarian reserve or for libido and regulating cycles, taking Vitex, which is good, but maybe it's not right for you. So even though you read up all this stuff and people come to us taking a whole host of supplements, but maybe they're the completely wrong ones for your body, that maybe you don't have low progesterone, or maybe even people taking vitamin D, which is a hormone. Well, maybe, you know, it's sort of a standard thing, because if we're in North America and if you're, is to take vitamin D, but well, why are your levels low? Which can be a clue as to that your immune system is low. Like for functional levels, we look at between 60 to 80. A lot of people come to us with vitamin D at like 20 or 30. Well, that's a clue. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so we use we look at the Dutch test, and then we look at a stool test that looks at the DNA of the stool. So a majority of people that come to us, there is some sort of gut infection, be it a parasite, sometimes multiple parasites, mm-hmm. A worm, a bacterial infection like streptococcus, gut dysbiosis, fungal infection. So there's something going on. So we
SIBO. I've been hearing a lot about SIBO lately, SIBO. All that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. There's things going on, and so basically whatever's happening, then we develop that customized protocol. Ours is low and slow. It's you know, taking supplements using, if you were to go to your conventional doctor, they may recommend an antiparasitic or an antifungal or an antiviral medication, or even an antibiotic. But doing that, then you risk, you know, you eradicate it, but then you also eradicate all the good bacteria. So in which takes months and months to repopulate. So we will recommend a low and slow approach. Some people can't take all those supplements. It's just too much for them. So we recommend you do something. We've had people, they find things that they don't do anything about it. So, mm-hmm. and then we layer in that, the lifestyle medicine side of things, looking at sleep hygiene. We're with people for months, environmental toxins. So your personal care, your cleaning, you know, right. Chemicals, your making sure you have filtered water.
What about sleep? I mean, I know like just from like our clients and myself as a mom of four, and, you know, being a doula on call for over 10 years, just like my quality of sleep has really affected my life in various ways. So I wonder if that's, or I'm pretty certain actually that that's affecting people too, especially the people with secondary infertility that already have a baby or a child at home, you know, and that they possibly aren't sleeping as well, and how that can really affect the overall lifestyle.
Yeah, even, you know, we work, say with sleep for like months to get people to get the average seven to nine hours of sleep, to prioritize sleep, to go to, and a lot of it is like backing up the whole day. So if you're home late, then you have your dinner late, and then you just want to have some time to yourself. Next thing you know, it's midnight and you do the whole thing over again. Mm-hmm. So, and then a lot of people are getting up multiple times during the night to go to the bathroom. That they're waking up, they either can't fall asleep because maybe their cortisol levels are, that's when we look at the test there, the Dutch test, and tells us what's happening with your cortisol levels, or you're waking up in the middle of the night, you call but can't fall back to sleep. So, and then that the next day will, interrupted sleep will impact your blood sugar the next day, which then impacts your sex hormones. So it's like this vicious cycle. Mm-hmm. To really, like, we have people, making sure, like, the sleep hygiene thing would be to make sure you're in a dark room, make sure it's not cluttered, make sure it's like a nice cool temperature. These things that we know, but we don't necessarily practice. Doing like a routine before bed, so you can put some essential oils on, or read a fiction book, not a nonfiction book.
Put the screens down.
That's the next one. The screens, yeah. Right? And so getting those blue light blockers. Like I was talking to a client the other day, and we were talking late. And she came on the Zoom call wearing her blue light blockers. I'm like, yeah!
Good job.
Yeah, I know. So it's it is kind of to do all those things. It takes time, but that's like sleep is a you know wellness pillar. It's and to really prioritize it.
Totally agree. So I was writing down as you were talking, like just some of the tests and things you're doing for clients and people you work with. And it's really an incredibly comprehensive thing. So I'm like, it made me think like, what made you come up with like the combination of like Dutch test, right? Urine test, stool test, like obviously helping with lifestyle and stuff like that too. Is it just working with people or was it just like functional medicine training or talk to me a little bit about
that. I work with a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. So she runs these tests and then develops the customized protocol based on testing.
Okay.
And then I coach people to help them integrate it. So she's part of my team. I also have a therapist who specializes in fertility, as well as a yoga instructor who specializes in fertility. So we have online yoga programs. But it's really like with the testing, it was just. It's just taking that because a lot of people come and they've done many of these different things and they're taking a whole host of supplements and you know they may have been to different practitioners, but it's
not working.
It's almost that analogy, right? Where the person's in the coal mine, they got the pickaxe and they're hacking away and they turn around just before they get to the gold because you've done all these things which are all good but maybe not quite right for your body. And so just cluing into what's going to work for you and using testing, but with the caution that like the testing is just the beginning. And some people are like, oh, I'm just gonna do the testing.
Right.
Like the testing is the very start. And then we still need to do all those, like in lifestyle medicine, like doing all those different, you know, changes, which that stuff takes time. Like we're looking at overhauling probably a whole lots of sections of your life for the better, you know, in a layering approach that you're not going to be overwhelmed.
Baby steps, I always say, you know.
Yeah. And in this case, literally baby steps. Yeah. Towards the baby.
Exactly. Towards the baby. I love it. That's super interesting. I've actually personally worked with a functional medicine person myself, and I found the test to be incredibly thorough and enlightening. And I mean, I just loved it because it gave me so much insight into what was going on. And then we were able to work on stuff to make me feel a lot better, which was so, I was so grateful for. Okay. So I wanted to ask you like, and you've kind of touched on it a bit so far, but why do you think we're having this, you know, fertility crisis, if you will, in North America? Because I feel like everywhere you turn, you're hearing stories or you know someone that is having this struggle. So what do you think that's causing it? You know, maybe lifestyle or is it something else going on?
Yeah. So it's like 1 in 8 in the US, 1 in 6 in Canada. It's really to do with our standard Western diet and lifestyle that, you know, we're in the middle of a huge food experiment with our foods being sprayed with glyphosate, which is a herbicide and, linked to infertility, a whole host of other things. So going organic would be a first step. It's just really, you know, in our lifestyle that's busy, not prioritizing those pillars, sleep, you know, having a healthy diet, moving every day, and those environmental toxins, which are putting huge stress on our body. So you've got the mental, emotional stressors that we're not, you know, to get honest about those, the structural stress, we could have like a pinched nerve or something that's putting stress in our body. The environmental stressors, like I look for myself, the premature ovarian failure. When I grew up, I was in a house in the forest that we used to get carpenter ants and we sprayed on a regular basis. Well, my dog died of cancer at 10. I have, you know, had infertility. My brother has blood cancer. So was it the fact that, you know, I inhaled all these environmental toxins as a kid? I don't know.
Right.
I also have the MTHFR gene, so that makes it harder for me to detox some of this stuff that comes in. Mm-hmm. to me, it's I've you know, developed my podcast and written a book and all this stuff to really get the word out there, because people think when they see their OBGYN and they're having struggling with their fertility, their first natural step is to go to the fertility clinic. Whereas the first natural step is to see, okay, like your body is whispering to you, mm-hmm. then it'll start shouting at you in the form of disease, and you can go there. And I was successful. I had both my children with donor eggs, and it worked for me. And I'm very, our thing is to look at that healing round table where you have your RE, your OBGYN, your fertility coach, your nutritionist, your acupuncturist, your chiro, your masseuse, you have them all, but you're in the center of that healing, and you're the conductor. You don't just go to the one person. You include all of them in the team, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think people just go marching off there when meanwhile they could be, there's all sorts of other things going on besides the infertility. Maybe the fact that you had the autoimmune thing going on, why I've had people that they don't even, did not even look to do a full thyroid panel, to look to mm-hmm. look at antibodies. Maybe the fact, as you said before, with miscarriage, maybe you've got an autoimmune disease in there and that's being missed. Looking at why
the body's dealing with that before it's going to procreate.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. it's to look at that first and to really mm-hmm. set, like, focus on your preconception health using this testing, and then the components of lifestyle medicine. And then you either get pregnant naturally, or if you have to go to the clinic, because the IVF, the average success rate is 30% and IUI is 10%, mm-hmm. donor eggs are 50%. So really, you'll go and you'll increase your successes, because people come to me after it failing and years of trying, tens of thousands of dollars they've spent, and they don't have their baby, and they're in a very dark spot. You know, an RE, a well-meaning RE may have told them, sorry, your chances are low, and it gets stuck in their brain and they think there's no other way. And unless that RE is trained in functional medicine, they don't know there's another way.
Exactly. I'm a big fan of tools in the toolbox, and knowing, like you said, your team, you were talking about earlier, every person in that team, including yourself, has tools in their toolbox. And I think that is so important to know when you're speaking to them, like what tools they have available to them, because they can't, like you said, they can't coach you on functional medicine if they don't have that training. That's not their tool.
That's right. You need
to go to someone that does. I think I mentioned already, but I'm a huge fan of functional medicine. And mm-hmm. I love that you said that it's the future, because I feel the exact same way. In fact, I before you and I got on the call, I was telling my business partner, Mary, that I was just excited to talk to you about functional medicine, because I do think it's the future. And I think that more people need to have to even just know that it exists. Right. I don't think that a lot of people even know that it's out there and that we have this availability for these comprehensive and much more sensitive tests than you can get from a conventional practitioner. So, okay, cool. So that all makes sense with the fertility, why we're going through that. I didn't know that it was 1 in 6 in Canada and 1 in 8 in the United States. Mm-hmm. That is
mm-hmm. scary.
That is pretty wild. Mm-hmm. So, again, you kind of already touched on this, but if there was something, or maybe you've written a blog post or you've had your own podcast about this, but if someone said, like, Sarah, give me 5 things I should be doing to get me to have this dream of having a baby, whether it's, like the first time they're experiencing a fertility crisis or subfertility, like what would you say kind of just off the top of your head?
Yeah. So I'd start by doing the elimination diet. So that's the gold standard, and really pick a time that you can be for 10 days to take those, the dairy, gluten, soy, corn, peanuts, eggs, take those out of your diet, then mm-hmm. systematically reintroduce them. So follow that very closely. I have a program on that, but you can do it by yourself. I've got a podcast episode on Get Pregnant Naturally that walks you through the whole process. Mm-hmm. So definitely do the elimination diet. And then I would switch to 100% organic. If that sounds too intense, there's an episode that I talk about. There's a lady actually for Moms Across America, and they just actually – last week, I think they, there was he was a custodian in schools, and he is just, they just passed the there was a lawsuit against Monsanto. Yeah. Yeah. And it was approved. So it went through. So his claim was approved, that there was a link to the fact that he was, you know, putting all this stuff on the gardens at the school, that he now has lymphoma. Yeah.
It's a death sentence. And he got several hundred million dollars.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I read that.
So, because there's all sorts of literature saying that there's a link. And it was funny, last week my husband was like, oh, I was just passing by the apple orchard or the peach orchard or something. I saw a guy up there on a ladder in a white Tyvek suit with a respirator and a sprayer. And I'm like, yeah, and we're eating those peaches that are just, I'm like, really?
Doused.
And I was, and I was upset because I get an organic box and we've had some rain here in the Toronto area last week, and the lady from the organic box, the distributor, she's like, we are crying here because of the rains, we've lost our whole entire organic peach thing.
Like,
so
supply.
I know,
like,
no!
but
like, really, it is not a hoax. Like, this is to me how it is. It's, you either nod your head yes and you're saying this makes sense, and if you don't, that's okay, it's not for you. Mm-hmm. So I'm not here to convince anybody. There's all kinds of scientific literature linking this to infertility and a whole host of other stuff. If you want to debate it, this is not for you. So if you're nodding your head going yeah, this makes sense, you know, start making the changes. So do the elimination diet, do change to organic. Your personal care, like, go to the environmental working groups. So EWG.org, and you can look at your personal care and get them rated.
Safe Skin or something is on
Skin,
yeah.
Skin Deep.
Skin Deep,
They'll rate it for you, and you can see exactly what it is you're putting on your skin and how, you know, you're absorbing all of that. So making the switch is,
I was just going to say, what an amazing resource that is. That's been around for a while,
totally.
Actually.
It has. Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. So get your products rated. And then it's not to say throw everything out, but as you finish, just replace it with a natural one. Mm-hmm. And especially if you find out that you're gluten sensitive or you have non-celiac gluten sensitivity, making sure that you do not have contaminant, like gluten in your products is huge, because then it's like, again, stressor on your body. Mm-hmm. So look at your environmental, look at your personal care. Same with your cleaning chemicals.
I think
switch
that
those
is a really,
over.
I mean, all of these are really big ones, but I think that is not just a big one, but a very often overlooked one. You know, like, I think organic, people kind of get, you know, okay, I know I need to buy organic, that kind of thing. I know I need my lifestyle to be better and sleep and all that kind of stuff. But what are you using to clean your homes? What are those products that you are around and breathing in constantly? Mm-hmm. I know, you know, recently I'm fortunate enough, I have a lady that comes and cleans our house every couple weeks, and she was not happy with me, but I was like, you have to tell me everything you need and I will go out and buy a natural product. And she wasn't happy just because it's out of what she normally does. But when she comes here, she knows she has to use those natural products that she kind of says don't work quite as well, but I just don't want my kids and my husband and I, you know, breathing in that stuff constantly. So I think that's a really big one.
Yeah, we have the same thing here. And sometimes I'll be like, okay, do you need me to buy many more products? Because sometimes I'll see some of the other stuff creep back in. I'm like, okay, don't want that in my house. Mm-hmm. So it's really to be your own advocate, and to me, it's to play around with those products. Some of them do suck, but many of them are great. Mm-hmm. Like, they're fine.
They've come a long way. I mean, they really have.
They have. Yeah. Exactly. So the cleaning chemicals, the personal care, water, like make sure you have filtered water. I use Berkey, Berkey, and it's a Berkey water filter.
I use a Berkey too. I love it. I love it. We take it on vacation with us, and people look at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, but you don't know what kind of water you're going to get if you're living there for a week, you know?
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's portable. So yeah, mm-hmm. it's really takes out arsenic and chlorine and the birth control pills that are like, are going in our water. Like, so, it just fluoride. So mm-hmm. all those things that we're ingesting and we think we're having our healthy water, like a Brita can work, but there's still, it's not taking out all the contaminants, but you know, a Berkey can be about $350. So again, better to have like a Brita than having tap water, or even having the water in your you know, a plastic water bottle, which all we don't want to have plastics because those are leaching into your body as well. So, and then the last one, probably like get some sort of mindfulness practice going on. And even if it's like just taking a mindful shower, mindful hand washing, mindful chewing, we all eat. So when you eat, instead of stuffing it down your mouth, like I've done this for years, like stuffing it, eating so quickly, cause I've got to go do something. Chew each bite 10 times and you'll feel more satiated and you'll just, there's like a sort of peace that comes over you. We have our couples like start meditation, like 3 to 5 minutes a day. We like the Calm app, C-A-L-M. It's a good one.
You like C-A-L-M, is that what you said?
Yeah, it's like they have a guided meditation or they have a time meditation. So,
or like Insight Timer is a good one too. Yep, and then you can like, see, I don't know about Calm. I haven't heard of that one, but I love how Insight Timer, you can see your friends, you know, it's kind of like that community. Social aspect. Yeah, that community. So it'll, you know, just show like, oh, well, this person in your town also was meditating today. And it's just kind of like, just makes you feel good, give you the feel good goosebumps kind of thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I recommend that one as well. And then it's also for fertility, I like Expectful as an app. They have they have fertility meditations as well as pregnancy and postpartum ones. So that's a newer app, which is pretty cool. And
that is really cool.
Yeah. So I think that those are sort of the some places to start. And then to take a more targeted approach to something that's customized for you, then obviously the testing.
Yeah, because I was going to say, you know, like just not to forget that functional medicine aspect of getting those tests and those highly sensitive tests that you were talking about earlier. I think that all those things combined would be super powerful. I mean, I know it would be super powerful for people. So that's really cool. You said something earlier, and I wanted to bring it up again, because there may be partners and dads out there listening. I think it's unique in a great way that you involve the partners in your fertility coaching. So I just want you to talk a little bit about that. Like, you know, what does that give for the couple to include both of them together? What was the impetus to you, you know, doing both of them together instead of just working with women? Kind of talk to me about that for a second, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. I started out coaching just women, and it just was like, this takes two to tango to have a baby. And it was just like this missing piece, and to having, you know, people on the same page. And as they go through the coaching program, and the protocol and the testing is for the woman, cause we deal with female fertility. But really, so the partner gets, we do a review of their health history. We review their blood work. So if there's anything we need to optimize, you know, his health, that's something that we focus on. But it's really sometimes, you know, dealing with fertility challenges, it either brings you closer together or it kind of tears you apart. And women and men will handle fertility differently. So it's really to be able to have, when you're going through the coaching, you can, each person is here and the other person answers some of the questions, and they may be hearing it for the first time, what they think on a certain topic. They can cry and laugh together. And it's just really, it's just a very holistic approach to this, because they're looking at their whole lifestyle. And we get into the nitty gritty about, you know, who's gonna do the laundry and things like that. So it's like, it's practical stuff, but then it's also, like talking about people with self-doubt and things like that, where like people are stuck on especially with infertility, you know, looking around and seeing other families building their family or seeing other pregnant bellies. And there's a lot of triggers, and women typically will obsess about it more than men, stereotypically. I just had a man on my podcast talking about from the fertility or infertility from the male perspective, and you know, that men will hardly tell anyone. They're not going to join any chat groups or forums. Right. They're going to their manhood feels threatened, or may feel threatened. There's shame involved around this. So it's being able to, like, it's extremely important, more so almost for a man to, because they haven't reached out for support, whereas women may have already just intuitively done that. So to have the partner involved in this is just very, it just helps with the isolation that is often surrounds infertility.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I'm so glad that you do that, because Everybody needs that support when you're going through that. Absolutely. So that makes that's fabulous. Awesome. Mm-hmm. One more thing I just wanted to tell you about was I just loved your overarching message of hope on your website. I think that somebody or a couple through any fertility journey or fertility crisis or whatever you want to call that, just having that message of hope and knowing that there's resources out there like yourself and other practitioners like yourself, I think that that is, I just really liked that message because it can feel incredibly isolating. And as you said, there's triggers everywhere. I feel like when I was trying to get pregnant, every time I logged on Facebook, I saw like someone I knew announcing that they were pregnant. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's almost like it's like you attract it, right? When you're feeling that way. So I just really like that. I wanted to mention that I think that is something that people really need at that time in their life.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's funny. I've just the amount of researching that women are doing on this topic is can be, look, I'm all for love of learning, but I've just mm-hmm. realized just only recently how much is researching they're doing on a regular basis, like 2+ hours a day. When, and we're talking about self-care, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I underestimated the amount of time it was spent, like literally looking at infertility blogs, looking at all these success stories. And then we have a podcast on this, going down the rabbit hole of infertility, and mm-hmm. it often doesn't make you feel hopeful. It makes you feel hopeless. So it's, having people kind of back down on that research and maybe focusing or definitely focusing on some self-care aspects. And it doesn't need to be some fancy spa. It could just be like your self-care is I'm going to actually take lunch today and not
right.
eat at my
I'm
desk.
Gonna eat. Yeah. I'm going to go for a walk or
yeah,
just
gonna
little
outside.
Things. I'm going to, as a busy mom, I like one of the things I find pretty cathartic when I, you know, we're on a time crunch is just, when I'm driving, I call an old girlfriend because I don't get times to talk to girlfriends very often anymore, you know, and that's just like so lovely, especially if she has time on her end, right? Just it's those little things to laugh with an old friend or whatever, just to get those little nuggets of self-care in where you can. But about the like kind of rabbit hole of, you know, the 2 hours a day of researching, I mean, that works for anything. I mean, we have that same problem in birth. I mean, our business is built on ending the overwhelm of searching for everything. Kind of the step after you when you are pregnant, then they begin that rabbit hole of pregnancy, preparing for the birth, and then how the heck am I going to, you know, do motherhood or parenthood mm-hmm. and A, do it, or B, do it with my career. So, and then they spend hours a day on the internet for all that. So, yeah, just get off Google, people.
I know. Or like I say with people kind of with we have a worry time thing too, where we recommend to people if they're worrying all day long, like park your worries and do it, you know, twice a day. And it's almost the same thing with the research because it's so like, oh, I got an idea. And I Google it right away. Why don't we park that and see mm-hmm. later on, do we really need to research that? Do we really need to look that up? Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't.
And what is what we find going to be accurate and helpful, or is it just going to send us into more of a tailspin? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I see a lot too. You know, is like, not everything is completely accurate that you're finding as well.
That's right.
So that can be
misinformation, confusion, exactly.
Hole.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, Sarah, I'm so appreciative of your time and for you coming on our podcast. And I would love to chat with you again as we get closer to our launch. And I think you are doing such great work in the world. And I will definitely send people your way that I think that would be a good fit for you.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Yeah, it was great chatting to you. And it's amazing what you're doing as well. I was on your site there. I see it's got, what does it say, due soon, which I thought was pretty cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we do a lot of play on words with, you know, with baby stuff. I'm the web copy girl, and my partner is editing all of our videos. We interviewed about 30 plus like doctors and midwives for the like our signature course for the birth education course, and so she's busy finishing up the editing for all of those videos while I'm writing the web copy, and it's fun because I'll do like little things like, you know, baby steps to get there, you know, like pun intended. So. Mm-hmm. It's cute. All right. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. You're doing awesome work. The world needs you. And we will hopefully connect again soon.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too, Kate. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.